Okay, so our learning is going to be for Rafush Lema for...
Netanel Ilan ben Shena Tzipura.
Netanel Ilan ben Shena Tzipura. Ben Bela.
And just one more person?
Yeah.
Tuvia Zev ben Chaya Rivka.
For Tuvia Zev ben Chaya Rivka. Rafush Lema. Okay, so let's pick off. We left off a few weeks ago. We were in the middle of discussing Minhagim of Hamotzi, I believe. Hamotzi on Shabbos. So today I want to be able to do, hopefully finish Hamotzi and get to Shalshis a little bit. That'd be our goal for today. So the last, if I remember correctly, the last thing we discussed was the idea of the salt with the challah. The next thing I want to discuss is this minhag we have of marking the challah with the knife. Now, a lot of people, before they make Hamotzi, will take the knife and make a little mark, and then they will go ahead to make Hamotzi. So why do we do that? So this is actually not just a halacha in Shabbos, it's a halacha which is brought down on a daily basis, which we're not as... We don't often make hamotzi in a formal way on a daily basis, but there is an idea to always mark the bread before hamotzi. This is according to Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber says, "Medaktikim regilim lershom." The Mishnah Berurah says this: "Medaktikim regilim lershom besakin." People who are careful with halacha are accustomed to marking the bread with their knife before they make the bracha. So why is this? So the simple reason is just that it makes hamotzi a little bit quicker. There's halacha not to have a hefsik between hamotzi, it's making the bracha, and eating the bread. So especially if you have, let's say, very, very thick crusted bread, to start cutting after hamotzi is going to take you some time. You have to find the right spot, you have to start putting the knife through. So the Shulchan Aruch recommends that you should make a mark where you want to cut before you make hamotzi, so that it'll eliminate that extra time between hamotzi and eating the challah. So that's what we do also. So for us, we see it mostly on Shabbos. But technically, if you have a whole loaf of bread during the week and you're making hamotzi, you should make a little mark prior to hamotzi so that you know where to start cutting afterwards. And this means you should start cutting on that mark. Many people make the mark and they don't start cutting there. They cut somewhere else. That defeats the whole purpose. You know, the idea of the mark is to cut on the mark. The one thing that you should be careful with is you don't want to jeopardize the status of the challah being a shalim, especially on Shabbos. So your mark should be a small mark. Don't go too deep in, because then it may not be a shalom anymore and you're losing your lechem mishnah. So you don't want to do that. So you want to make a little mark, but not too big of a mark. Now on Shabbos we have two challahs. So which challah do you actually cut first? So on Shabbos the minhag is, on Shabbos night, Friday night, you cut the bottom challah first. On Shabbos day... and Shalosh Shittos, you cut the top challah first, and so to Yom Tov. So the only difference is going to be Friday night. Why is that? It's Al Pi Kabbalah. That's what's brought down as the idea of Pi Kabbalah, that on Friday night you want to cut the bottom challah first. This does present for us a little bit of a halachic challenge, because there is an idea of Eim Avir Nal Mitzvah, so you can't pass over a mitzvah. So I have two challahs in front of me, I want to cut the bottom one, I have to remove the top one to get to the bottom one, I'm passing over a mitzvah, so what do I do? So the halacha says that you should do is have the bottom one stick out a little bit, so that you can just cut to the bottom one straight and not have to remove the top one first. So the ideal way to do it Friday night would be, if it's my two challahs, top one, bottom one, the bottom one sticking out, so I make hamotzi, and I can just cut over here without having to go through the top one first.
You always have two challahs on top of each other?
Yeah. So you Friday...
next to each other.
So when it comes to hamotzi, it should be on top of each other. Right? So... we'll talk more about it, I think. I don't think we did last time, how to put them in your hands. But so Friday night, though, you should cut the bottom one, and every other suit should cut the top one. The only difference is Friday night.
And the reason again?
It's all Pi Kabbalah, basically, a Kabbalistic reason. That's the idea. So we don't know much more than that, but the Rama says, Al Pi Kabbalah, this is the right thing to do. So it's Kabbalistic. But again, to avoid passing over that mitzvah, you should put the bottom one sticking out a little bit so that you go straight to the bottom one and don't have to overlook the top one. Some people have a different minhag. Some people actually cut through both of them. This is based on the gra. The minhag of the gra, I believe, was to cut through both challahs. So it could be you've seen people at their homes, maybe you do your own home, you actually make hamotzi and then cut through both straight. If that is the case, then I guess maybe you want to eat the bottom one first, I guess, but you're really cutting both of them together. And it's all really based on how to understand a certain Gemara. When the Gemara says you should have Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos, doesn't mean you cut through both, or doesn't mean you just make a bracha on both. So that's actually a machlokas to understand the Gemara. So based on that, you have two different minhagim. So some people will cut through both, some cut through one. It is definitely brought down, if your minhag is to cut through both, if you make them too big, you're going to waste a lot of challah. Because that means on Shabbos, you're going through at least six challahs, with all the meals. If they're too big, you have a lot of leftover challah. So it's recommended if you do that to make your challah smaller so you can cut through both and not waste any challah. So that's just a practical piece of advice if you are cutting through both. The more common minhag is to cut through only one. So I assume everyone here probably cuts through one. Is that right? What do you do in your homes? Mm-hmm. Cut through one. Yeah, that's the more common thing. But I have seen people cut through two, which is based on the gra. Now, as you make hamotzi, you're supposed to hold both in your hand, both challahs on Shabbos. So you should take your hands and put them on both challahs. If you're wearing gloves, you should remove the gloves first. The idea of that is covered for a bracha. Now, when you have your hands in gloves trying to make a bracha, it's like, I don't want to touch it, it's too dirty for me. So we might laugh and say it's not so common, but you could be, maybe you have some cooking gloves on, then you're in the kitchen preparing something, then you want to come make hamotzi or something like that. So you should remove your gloves before making hamotzi. This really is based on a story in the Gemara. The Gemara quotes, there was a certain Kohen Gadol who, for him, karbanos were like too disgusting. He didn't want to touch like the gory blood and the animals, this and that. So he used to do the avoda in silk gloves. So he got silk gloves. You know, they're very fancy gloves, very nice gloves. But the Gemara says very terrible things about him. And the Gemara says that he was punished severely for looking at Hashem's mitzvah and thinking it was too like disgusting to touch. So Baruch Hashem, our challahs is not disgusting. Our challahs are very, very good. Even so, when it comes to mitzvah, you want to get your hands directly into it. You don't want to put on gloves. You don't want to get nervous about the mess or the crumbs. It's a mitzvah. You go for it, and you get your hands dirty. So there's an idea of having both challahs in your hands and removing the gloves. Now, it's actually quoted in Halacha that you should have all 10 fingers upon the challahs. Now, why is that so important? So there's actually a lot of reasons brought for this. But one fascinating reason is that in making bread, there are 10 mitzvos that are done. So each finger represents a mitzvah. What are the 10 mitzvos? So we'll go through this slowly, but there's 10 mitzvos done when making bread. The first one is Lo sachrosh b'shor v'chamor yachdav. When you are plowing the field, you can't plow with a donkey and an ox together. It's the concept of kilayim, not to plow two different kinds of animals together. So that's number one. That's for plowing. When you plant, we say sadcha lo sizra kilayim. You can't plant kilayim. You can't, you know, mix seeds. You can't mix species when planting. That's number two. And number three is lo sachsam shor bedisho. When you're threshing the grains, you can't muzzle your ox. You have to allow the ox to eat as it threshes. So that's number three. Number four is leket, leaving behind, you know, the dropped grains for the poor. The fifth is shechecha, leaving behind the forgotten grains for the poor. The sixth is peah, it's leaving the corners of your field for the poor. The seventh will be truma. The eighth is meiser, that's your tenth you give to the Levi. The ninth is meiser sheni, that's the tenth that's eaten in your shalayim. And the tenth is challah, you have to separate challah from it. So many of these are only relevant in Eretz Yisrael, not in the Chutz Aretz, but be it as it may, you have 10 mitzvos involved, by definition, upon making a piece of bread, and therefore you have 10 fingers on that bread to represent the 10 mitzvos done. So that's one explanation given. Other explanations given for why 10 fingers is there are several psukim having to do with eating bread, which have 10 words in them. So I'll read you a few of them. One pasuk is a very famous one. Ene kol elecha yisaberu. You know, all this is an Asherei. All eyes turn towards you, Hashem. And v'ata nosen lems ochlam be'ito. And you, Hashem, give them their food at the right time. So, ene kol elecha yisaberu v'ata nosen lehem es ochlam be'ito. 10 words. You have another pasuk. It says, in Tehillim kuf dalid, matzmiya chasir l'behema. Hashem sprouts forth the grass for the animals. V'esev avodas ha'adam, and the grass for the work of man. L'hotzi lechem arts, in order to bring forth bread from the earth. Again, 10 words about bringing forth bread from the earth. This pasuk is actually the source of words ha'motzi lechem in arts. It comes from that pasuk. Another pasuk, another famous one, is when it speaks about the seven species of Eretz Yisrael, the Shiva Saminim. It says Eretz Yisrael contains Eretz Chita Usa'ora, Geffen V'teina V'rimon. It's a land of wheat and barley and grapes and figs and pomegranates. Eretz Zeis Shemen Udvash, it's a land of oil, of olives, and dates. So that's 10 words as well. And then one more pasuk with 10 words is the pasuk that many people say Motzi Shabbos. It's the bracha which is given to Yaakov. V'yitin lecha Elokim mital shemayim b'shmanei ha'aretz. So Hashem should give to you from the dew of the heavens and of the fat of the land, v'rov dagon v'sirosh, and an abundance of grains and grapes. So also talking about grains in 10 words. So you have all these psukim with 10 words in them. I'm describing bread and describing the produce of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore the 10 fingers on the challah represents those 10 words of this psukim. So we want to keep our 10 fingers on the challah. When the one is making hamotzi, again this is true all week long, that's on Shabbos, as you say hamotzi, you should lift up the bread. At what point do you lift it up? So the Mishnah Berurah says when you say Hashem's name. Baruch Atah Hashem, you lift up the bread, which I guess represents that you're trying to show this bread came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you're kind of making that gesture as you make the bracha. The Arizal says lift it at the word Hamotzi, not at Hashem's name. So everyone can do, I guess, based on their minhag, but the Mishnah Berurah says at Hashem's name, which I think is a more common thing to do. Well, this is true also during the week. If you're sitting down for a bagel for breakfast, Baruch Atah Hashem, you put your 10 fingers on it, lift it up as you make the bracha. There's another concept which is quoted, that when you have your two challahs on Shabbos, and you have your knife, and your 10 fingers, so that actually makes Hashem's name, Yod Kei Vav Kei. How is that? So your 10 fingers are the Yod, that's the gematria of 10. The two challahs each represent the letter Hey, and the knife's like a Vav, the long knife's like a Vav. So your 10 fingers and the knife and the two challahs make Yod Kei Vav Kei. Another different reference to having your 10 fingers on the challah. Next topic would be, how do you distribute the challah? What do you do? So the Shulchan Aruch says, what you're supposed to do is give each person challah in front of them, but you don't hand them challah in their hands. You shouldn't put it into the person's hand. The reason for that is that that's looked at as a sign of avelus. It was the derech of mourners to give each other bread, and it's based on a pasuk in Eicha, Pirset Sion Biadeha. It says that Sion, it kind of like spread things out in its hands. So whatever that pasuk means in context, we understand it to mean there's an idea of avelim passing things to each other directly. So therefore, we Baruch Hashem, when we're not in avelus, we try to hand each, we put the bread in front of the person, but not into their hand. This is only relevant when you, at the time of hamotzi itself. You could pass bread later on in the meal, that's fine. But when you say hamotzi, that first piece of bread should be put on the table, but not in the person's hand.
So what if you're sitting at a long table like this and you're sitting over there? So you can't give every person a piece of bread in front of them.
So if you pass around a plate or basket, yeah, that's fine. Right. Or each person, put on the table. I mean, it can get a little bit messy at a certain point. But if you have the basket, you can pass the basket around, not the bread directly. Okay. The Mishnah Berurah says you should not throw the challah. Don't throw the bread. And this is based, there's a concept in general in halacha called bizayon ochel, not to disgrace food. We have to always recognize that food is a gift from Hashem. And we're so spoiled in modern-day America. We have so much, as we spoke about a few weeks ago, we have so much food to eat. And we don't realize how valuable food really is, because Baruch Hashem, we have plenty. But food is a gift from Hashem. And to disgrace a piece of food is aser. Not to disgrace food. So you're not supposed to throw food. It's a bezayon to the food. Also on Shabbos and Hamotzi, it's a bezayon to the mitzvah. You're disgracing the mitzvah. This is a mitzvah right now to have a Shabbos food, and I'm just tossing the bread around. And that's not appropriate. So that's the way the Mishnah Berurah explains it. However, many of you may be aware, certain Sfardim have a minhag, to throw the bread, right? To dafka throw the bread. You seen that before? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's Sfardim have this minhag. And this is based on a very different concept. There's an idea called Zrikas Evarim. When they would offer karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim would walk up the ramp to the Mizbeach, and there's an idea that they would actually toss the limbs onto the Mizbeach, rather than put them down. It's considered some form, I think, of like excitement for the mitzvah, some form of, and it's based on a pasuk, but some form of, we're serving Hashem with a lot of energy or something along those lines, and they would toss the limbs onto the Mizbeach. They would give them a good throw. So Svardim, really based on the same concept we spoke about last time, which is that your table is like a Mizbeach, they then toss the challah to show, like, Zrikas Sevarim, I'm tossing around the challah, like I throw the limbs onto the Mizbeach. This actually fits very much a lot of concepts. We spoke about the idea of salt on the table has to do with it being the table being a mizbeach. And we spoke about having the table set nicely because it's considered like a mizbeach. And the table is compared to a mizbeach. So therefore, it's not so far out to throw the challah to represent the mizbeach. It's not a crazy thing to do. But that's the idea of throwing the challah. Okay, so I think that's all the ideas, of all the minhagim of hamotzi. So any questions on hamotzi? We'll move on to the next thing. Okay.
I have a question. What do they say about what to do with the leftover challah? because you said before something about, like, don't make them too big, you know, so you shouldn't have leftover.
Right. Well, you should eat it. But you should do.
What?
If you should eat it. What you should do. But if, right. I mean, obviously, if there's leftover, there's a halacha in general not to disgrace food, as we said. Mm-hmm. So it is brought down. It's best to wrap up bread before you throw it into the trash can,
right.
So that even in the trash, it doesn't get like disgusting and disgraced by all the other trash. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to do that for crumbs, but any bread which is of a significant size, it is ideal to put it into a grocery bag, a Ziploc bag, something. Wrap it up so when it goes in the garbage, it remains kind of separate. It doesn't get, you know, disgusting and dirty from all the other garbage. So that is ideal. But you know, that's nice to use the challah for French toast, sandwiches, you know.
A friend of mine gives it to the birds, and I was just wondering about that.
Right. Okay, I don't know if there's a minute for that, but that's a good use. It's not wasting it. You know, it's not a disgrace for it.
Do that too.
Right.
But it's not a disgrace.
I don't think so. No, feed animals. I don't think it's a disgrace to feed animals. Okay. You're not supposed to feed animals the actual slices from the hamotzi. Meaning, if you make hamotzi on Shabbos, those first slices, you shouldn't give one to your dog. That you shouldn't do. Because that's actually a mitzvah. That's not just bread, it's a mitzvah. Mm-hmm. And that you shouldn't give to animals. But the leftover bread, I think, is fine to give to animals. That's not a problem.
So the leftover bread, if it's at a fleishig meal,
yeah,
and it's, you know, not all over the table, but it's on the bread, you know, challah plate. You said something about French toast. Some people say not to do that because
you're okay, correct. So
dairy.
Yes, that's a good point. So
it's considered fleishig if it was that.
If there's slices out of the fleishig meal, that's considered fleishig challah. You shouldn't have it with milchik. If it's still not cut, if it's in the loaf, so many poskim say that's okay to use for milchiks. Unless you have lots of kids with dirty hands who are grabbing at it. And then you shouldn't use vermilchiks. But
should you be cutting the whole challah? Like, can you leave half alone?
You can leave half, yeah. You can just cut what you need for the meal.
Okay.
But you're definitely allowed to leave over half. But yeah, once it's in slices at the table with fleishiks, you shouldn't use it for milchiks anymore. Or vice versa. If it's sliced at the table with milk, you shouldn't use it for fleishiks anymore.
Right.
So that's a good point. Thank you. Okay, so I'm moving on to shalashiris. We haven't done shalashiris yet. So we've mentioned way back, you know, when we started talking about the Shabbos sudos, there is a halacha to have three meals on Shabbos. This is based on a pasuk. It says about the man. It says ichu hayom, eat today, ki Shabbos yom Hashem, because it's today Shabbos for Hashem. Hayom lo simsu basal. You won't find the man today in the field. And the Gemara says it says the word there hayom three times, which means there's three meals on Shabbos. So we have a source from a pasuk. It's a derabbanan ultimately, but it's a source from a pasuk that we have three meals on Shabbos. So the third meal is our third meal. That's the third meal of Shabbos. It says Ichlu Hayom, eat today, Ki Shabbos Hayom LaHashem. Hayom Lo Simsu Basad. You're not gonna find it in the field today.
Where's that from?
That's in Beshalach. When the man was first brought in, when the Torah first discusses the man, it brings it down. It's in Parshas Aman. So the this meal is referred to colloquially as Shalashidus. Shalashidus is just a, you know, messed up form of shalosh sudos, right? Three meals. But the idea, why should we call it suda shlishis, really, the third meal? Why is Klal Yisrael referred to as shalashidus? Where did that come from? Nothing in Klal Yisrael has no reason for it. The fact that we call it shalashidus or shalosh sudos means something. So I saw there's a sefer which explains that we call it shalashidus because we all know at shalashidus often we're not hungry. Right, that's the meal which is usually hardest to get down, especially this time of year. You know, Shabbos ends at 5:30, and you just finished lunch at 2, and then Shalashidus is at 4:30. It's not a meal you have much of an appetite for. So why are you eating Shalashidus? You're eating L'shem Shemayim. It's a mitzvah. That's the only reason I'm eating it. So what this is doing is that it's trying to show that all the meals of Shabbos were really for the sake of a mitzvah. I mean, you look at the Friday night meal when you're hungry, you say, you're eating because of your appetite, not because of the mitzvah. Shabbos morning, you know, you don't have too much of Kiddush, you sit down, you have a nice meal, you're hungry, you're enjoying the meal, it's just your body enjoying it, not your neshama. Shalashidus is all about the neshama, because the body doesn't really want any food at that point. So it's about the neshama. And at that point, we say that this meal is able to indicate that all the meals really were for the mitzvah. All the meals of Shabbos were the Shem Shemayim. So we call it Shalashidus, because really all the meals are included in this meal. This meal actually impacts or kind of displays that all the meals that we had in Shabbos were ultimately for the sake of Hashem. So that's why we call it Shalashidus. The Shalashidus is an obligation for men and women. So women as well have to eat Shalashidus too. The time for Shalashidus ideally is after Mincha Gedola, 6.5 hours into the day. So you might say, you know, I'm up early Friday morning, Shabbos morning, you know, I'll wash and have a nice big breakfast on a bagel, and then I'll have lunch, that'll be Shal Shedis. Well, that could work as long as lunch is going to be after Mincha Gedola, after 6.5 hours. But if you have an early lunch and a bagel for breakfast, you haven't done Shal Shedis, because it has to be in the afternoon, Shal Shedis. So it doesn't come up that often. Usually Shabbos, the schedule lends itself to having later meals, but it's important to know that the time should be after 6.5 hours into the day. So this time of year, let's say it'd be approximately maybe 1 o'clock or so would be the time. So you have to have it after that. Again, it's rare on Shabbos, you're going to have two meals before 1 o'clock. So usually you'll be okay.
I know someone in the community who like goes to Hashgama and comes home and has like, I don't know what, makes some kind of Suda. And then,
right.
And then when like the wife and everybody comes back, then they
Then they have their lunch and that's Shal Shedis for them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So yeah, as long as they push it past this time, then it's okay. But
it doesn't have to start late, it could just end late.
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay.
As long as they're eating something past that time,
right,
it's fine. But they should be sure that they do have part of the meal past that time.
6.5 hours from when?
From sunrise. From sunrise. It's brought down that it is nice to have it after mincha, but that's not, you know, it's okay to have it before mincha, but it's the best way to do it would be to daven mincha before having Shal Shedis. That'd be ideal. L'chadchila. There's no Kiddush at Shal Shedis. So we have Kiddush Friday night, we have Kiddush Shabbos day. At Shal Shedis there's no Kiddush. However, the Mishnah Berurah does say there's a minhag to dafka have wine at Shal Shedis to become some sort of a Kiddush, which I haven't really seen done typically. I think that a lot of Rebbes might do it. You might find it in more Hasidic communities. But there is a minhag to have wine at Shal Shedis so that it would be some form of a Kiddush. And it's the idea, really, it's not even necessarily Kiddush. It's more just to show the chashivas of this meal. It's a Shabbos meal still. So the fact that it should be treated any worse than the other Shabbos meal is not really appropriate. So you want to add wine into the meal, and that kind of gives it that sort of Kiddush feel, gives it that Shabbos feel. Again, I haven't seen this one commonly done, but the minhag b'shavua does mention it. Al pi kabbalah, there is a minhag to have kiddush at Shal Shedis, which would just be bir priyei gafin. But al pi kabbalah, it actually is considered something important to do. Either way, this kiddush can be made after hamotzi. We know that at night and Shabbos morning, we make kiddush before hamotzi. But for those who have the minhag of kiddush at Shal Shedis, it could be done after hamotzi. Because it's not, it's sort of its own, you know, you're not trying to allow yourself to eat the meal, it's more just kind of to give the meal its significance, so you could do it after. Again, it's not a common minhag, I've never really seen it done to have kiddush Shal Shedis, but it is something which is discussed. Ideally, Shal Shedis should have lechem mishnah, you should have your two loaves. If you covering it based on what we discussed, you know, previously, we discussed a few weeks back, why do you cover the challah? So there are three reasons. We mentioned one reason was because of the order of brachos. We call it embarrassing the bread, but it had to do with you should make hamotzi before hagafen usually. At Kiddush, you do hagafen then hamotzi, so you cover the bread to show that I'm not like ignoring you. You know, we'll get to you when it's time. Shal Shedis, there's no hagafen. I mean, at least typically there's no hagafen, so therefore that wouldn't apply. Another idea for covering the bread was to remember the man. Well, that applies to Shal Shedis, because it's all, you're also remembering the man at Shal Shedis. The other idea of covering the challah was to kind of reveal it for the Kavod Shabbos, you know, like, voila, here's our Shabbos Suda. So that would apply to Shal Shedis as well. So two out of three reasons apply to Shal Shedis, one doesn't. That one reason that doesn't apply is really the main reason. So the minhag typically is not to cover the bread at Shal Shedis, but there certainly is grounds to cover the bread at Shal Shedis. So everyone could do as they wish. But definitely two out of three reasons would apply at Shal Shedis, but the main reason does not. Well, that's the idea of covering the bread. It seems to be the common minhag is not to cover the bread at Shal Shedis. So usually it's just kind of out there and people make hamotzi. So that's covering the bread. That's Lechem Mishnah. So one of the big questions always is, what do you eat at Shal Shedis? Do you have to wash? Can you not wash? Can you just have mazonos? Can you have peiros? Can you have fish? What Shal Shedis supposed to be? So the Shulchan Aruch is clear that ideally you should have bread at Shal Shedis. So ideally, l'chachila, one should wash for Shal Shedis. However, the Shulchan Aruch then says that, you know, some say that mazonos is sufficient. So there is an opinion that mazonos is fine. And then some say you can even just have, you know, some meat or some fish. And some say just fruit. So you have all opinions there in the Shulchan Aruch. But yet, the Shulchan Aruch says that bread is the main thing unless you feel overly full. So the one meal on Shabbos where there is room, kind of wiggle room, for not eating bread is Shalosh Shudas. Meaning at night, you got to have bread. Shabbos day, for lunch, you got to have bread. At Shalosh Shudas, ideally you should have bread. However, if you're just like, I just can't eat anymore, it's just too much, I just finished lunch 20 minutes ago, like, what am I supposed to do? So then there is grounds to say, have mazonos, have meat, have fruit, and have something else in place. There is grounds for that. However, there is a concept, chacham enav v'rosho, a wise person plans ahead. And being the Shalosh Shudas is a mitzvah, and you, if you know it's a short Shabbos, and you know you're finishing lunch late, and Shalosh Shudas is coming up soon, try to plan accordingly. Don't eat too much for dessert at lunch. Make sure you have some room in your stomach for Shalosh Shudas. Try to plan so you can do Shalosh Shudas in the ideal way. That's the best thing to do. But certainly, if you do get the Shalosh Shudas, and you just can't fit any more food, and you can have something else other than bread to do your mitzvah. That's fine. There's a minhag to say Mizmor LaDavid, which is at Shalosh Shudas, it seems certain songs are kind of like the standards. So there's a minhag to say Mizmor LaDavid, and the minhag to say it three times. Why do you say Mizmor LaDavid three times? Where does that come from? So if you count it up, I'm not telling you you should go count it up. If you count it up, Mizmor LaDavid, if three times Mizmor LaDavid is 327 letters. So you could do your math, but it equals 327 letters. Which is the gematria of bracha. Bracha is 327. So when you say Mizmor LaDavid three times, what you're doing is saying the letters, you're saying 327 letters, which equals bracha. So it's a simon bracha. Additionally, it has 57 words in Mizmor LaDavid, and that's the gematria of zan, of Hashem sustaining us. Hazanus olam kula b'tuvo. So therefore, that's also a positive remez for Hashem providing for us sustenance for the week. Additionally, the 57 in the word zon, or the gematria of dagim, a fish. And we spoke about, a month or two ago, we spoke about how fish are a sign of bracha. And the fish are, they multiply, fish are out of sight, out of the sight of ayin hara. Fish have, there's a lot of things about Shabbos and fish we spoke about. So therefore, 57 words of Mizmor LaDavid, that is the gematria of zon, the gematria of dagim. And therefore, you bring about this bracha through saying Mizmor LaDavid. So that's Mizmor LaDavid. What about fruits for Shalosh Shudas? So are there any special fruits in Shalosh Shudas? So we spoke about at length the minhag of having fish on Shabbos. It is cited that the main place to have your fish is actually Shalosh Shudas. That's the main place for your fish. So we often have fish maybe at Friday night. I mean, it happens to be Shalosh Shudas has become, tuna has become the fish of choice of Shalosh Shudas. Tuna fish is like, everyone has tuna fish at Shalosh Shudas. So that's fish, that works. But there is an idea to have fish at Shalosh Shudas. And we're familiar with Shalosh Shudas being kind of like a smaller meal. And practically that makes sense because we're not that hungry. That's usually where it comes from. But actually it's quoted, there's a minhag to make it a smaller meal. There's actually a minhag that Shalosh Shudas should be smaller than your lunch meal. And the reason for that, besides us being full, is because Shalosh Shudas' view is kind of like a more spiritual meal. We'll talk about more. Shalosh Shudas is the meal of Shabbos par excellence, meaning that during the week, classically, they had two meals a day. Even us, we have two bigger meals a day. But in times of the Gemara, in times of the Mishnayos, they had two meals a day. That was the typical. Having a third meal is unique to Shabbos. So the only meal on Shabbos, which is like the special Shabbos meal, is the third meal. The other two meals are typical. When you add on that third meal, you've done something very Shabbistic. You've done something unique and special for Shabbos. So being that this is a more spiritual meal, it's more shaykh to Shabbos, therefore to have less food makes it more spiritual and less physical. And that's part of the idea. So it happens to work out because we're full. But besides that, it becomes a more spiritual meal, which classically Shalosh Shudas is a time where people sing more, share more Divrei Torah, but that atmosphere is that it's more of a spiritual atmosphere than a physical one. Friday night and Shabbos day, they're very spiritual meals, but yet it's more of a it's more of a meal. It's more of a sit around than we have than enjoy our meal. But Shalosh Shudas is more of a spiritual time, which means you should set the table appropriately. It should look Shabbos-tic. You know, many of us, we just kind of grab a roll, we eat it, we're done. Which sometimes practically that's what's easy. But Shalosh Shudas is the ideal Shabbos meal. Shalosh Shudas is the meal on Shabbos, which is kind of like its own spiritual world. And therefore, we should recognize it's still Shabbos. Let's have some foods we enjoy. Let's set the table nicely like we would for another meal and enjoy it like a typical Shabbos meal. Let's not just be yotze with it, but really try and make it Shabbos-tic. That's the goal for Shal Shiras. But there's this minhag to make it a smaller meal. Now, this actually comes up sometimes halakhically. Is, you know, this one's hard to do sometimes, but you know, when you have a yontif, which is on Shabbos, so there's various tricks to try to like work in Shal Shiras, as I'm sure we're all familiar with. So one of those tricks would be, which I've done before, is that you wash for lunch. You eat your lunch. You bench, don't have dessert yet. Wash again, and then have dessert. That's Shal Shiras. So I'm sure many of you have done that one before, but that's a typical trick on a yontif that's on Shabbos to get Shal Shiras in. So that's good to do. That's a fine way to do it. But to flip that around is not ideal. Meaning, let's say you were to have lunch, you wash for lunch, you have your, like an appetizer, and then you bench. And then you take a break, you come back, you wash again, have your main course, have dessert. So now the bigger meal has become Shal Shiras now. Because since you have reserved your main course and dessert for Shal Shiras and had your appetizer as just your lunch meal, that's not the ideal form, because really Shal Shiras should be the smaller meal and lunch should be the bigger meal. So you're certainly Yotze in all cases. This is just in terms of the Minhagim. But the ideal way to do it in that scenario would be to have your main course for lunch and then just have dessert for Shal Shiras, because that makes Shal Shiras the smaller meal. So that's it's a practical thing where this minhag actually does come in very much. But Shal Shiras really is looked at as the most chashiv of the Shabbos meals, because it's like we said, it's the ideal, it's the unique Shabbos meal. Now the Shulchan Aruch says, Yehi Zahir Ma'od, you should be very careful to have Shal Shiras. Knowing that many people just, you know, they're not hungry, they don't have the time, they don't think about it and miss it, he gives us an extra special warning: be careful of Shal Shiras. Because it's the meal which is purely a Shabbos meal. It's the pure Shabbos meal. We don't want to miss that one. It's referred to Al Pi Kabbalah as Raiva de Raivin. It's the Ratzon of all Ratzonos. It's the deepest, it's the time that Hashem truly desires. So it's considered a very holy time. It's the deepest point of Shabbos. You know, you've had a full Shabbos already when Shal Shiras comes in. You've already experienced most of Shabbos. So you're in your deepest, you know, spiritual element of Shabbos at that point. We're most removed from the weekday. You know, we've already had 20, 22 hours in Shabbos away from the week. Hopefully we've grown from it. It's purified us. We've become more sacred because of it. So Shal Shiras is a time where you really should feel a little more spirituality. The benefit of being uplifted by a full Shabbos prior to this meal really should make this meal a more lofty meal. That's what we strive for. It's a time where the Satan doesn't make any accusations against us. If I can borrow a bench here again. So read one of the... You know, every single meal, there's a zemer called Askinu Sudasa. Askinu Sudasa is written by the Arizal. Each one is these very deep, you know, Kabbalistic terms. They're written in Aramaic. They're not easy zmiros. They're not sung all that often. But people do sing them very commonly. They sing it at Shal Shiras commonly. Each meal gets a different one. Each meal has this long, complicated Aramaic zemer. And it really is trying to portray a lot of Kabbalistic ideas about the meal. So the Shal Shiras one, if I could just read some of the lines from it. The one at Shal Shiras says... it says, you know, people who are yearning to see the shine of Hashem, they should be here at this table, where the king is exposed. Meaning Hashem is most exposed to us at Shal Shiras. It says, rejoice right now, at this time, where there is Hashem's will, and there's no anger. The Shal Shiras, you're at a time where Hashem's anger is no longer present. It says, creepily come close to me, chazu cheli, see my strength, the least dinim diskifim, because there is no strong dinim, there's no judgment, there's no accusations against us. It says that the kabban dechatzifin, the chutzpadik dogs, which refers to like, you know, bad spiritual forces, are not invited in. They're not allowed to be here. It says, "Nevatol kol klifin." You know, all the negative forces are battle or canceled out. It says, "Hashta bin minchasa." Right now, at mincha time, we're here. Bechadvasa is our anpin. We're here in the joy of Hashem's shechina. So we see the Arizal knew what was happening at that time of day. And the Arizal tells us that this is a time where Hashem is in a very, very, kevayachol, very, very happy state. It's a time where there's no accusations. It's a time where there's no judgment. It's a time where there's no evil forces in the world. It's a time of happiness, of love. So it's really an amazing time. Be'maka be'gilufim, where the king is exposed to us. So Shaul Shittes, you know, often that's the meal that gets the worst response on Shabbos. But yet it's considered really, really a very holy meal, a very special meal. It's a meal where Hashem is the most present and the most there and the most with us and the happiest, the most, you know, the most joy is there in Shaul Shittes. So we have to take advantage of that. The Chasam Sofer says that being careful at Shaul Shittes actually brings about refuos. So if somebody is sick, Shaul Shittes is one, I guess, tool to help Hashem bring about refuah. Not sure what that connection is, but that's what the Chasam Sofer says. I made a copy tonight. I just wanted to go through with you a little bit more about Shaul Shittes. I'm going to pass it around. This is good if you just pass that around here. Thank you. This is a piece from Emunas Yitecha, written by Rav Moshe Wolfson, Shlita. And it's actually this week's Parsha. I didn't plan it that way, but it turns out it's in Vayechi. And I'm not going to get into the whole piece about the Parsha, but he has in here a beautiful description of the holiness of Shaul Shittes. So if you see, I marked it off on the sheets, except for on mine. That's on page Kufay, and you have it on the bottom. You see where I put the brackets. Mm. And the paragraph begins, Bofen Acher Yishlomar. So I'm reading through this together. He really describes here the feeling we should have with Shaul Shittes and the holiness of Shaul Shittes. So he says, we can explain, he's talking about some other concept which is not relevant to our discussion right now. He says we can explain it, Al Pima Shekasu B'Toras Moshe L'Chasm Sofer. We can explain it based on an idea of the Chasm Sofer. L'hasber L'Matzar Chakon Gadol Tzvila B'Shimei B'Gadim B'Yom Kippurim. He asked the question, we know in Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has to go to the mikveh every time he changes clothes. So the Kohen Gadol is changing between the white garments for the Kodesh Kodashim and typical golden garments of his daily service. He's changing, Yom Kippur, he changes back and forth several times. And every time he changes, he has to go to the mikveh in between. So why is that? So he says, Bishlama mibigdei zav videi lavan. I understand if he's changing out of his golden clothing to his white clothing, I understand why he has to go to the mikveh. Because the golden clothing were the weekday clothing of the Kohen Gadol, that's what he did the rest of the year. And the white clothing were the special clothing that he wore into the Kodesh HaKadashim. So that was like a whole higher level. So Tovah Moshim Moshim is Ala Mikdusha Kala Kedusha Chamura. So I understand the Kohen Gadol was ascending. He was going up in Kedusha. He started off in his regular clothes, and then he's changing into his Begadim that are special for the Kodesh HaKadashim. So he goes to the mikveh because he's elevating himself. We get that. Avalama Yidbo Mikdei Love on the Big Days of. Why would the Kohen Gadol have to then go to the mikveh again, changing from his higher level clothing, his white clothing, back into his regular clothing? He wasn't going up, he was going down in Kedusha there. So why did he go to the mikveh at that time? So Chav Sefer answers, V'tirit, she'achar she'gomer avodaso v'gdei lavan. Once the Kohen Gadol finishes his avoda in the white clothing, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, nis'ala kol kach, he has elevated himself to such a degree, so now, even he goes back and does a more typical, easier avoda in his regular Kohen Gadol clothing, he's on a higher level. He's now a new person, not the same person as before. So now, his service in the golden begadim, is even higher than his service in the white begadim. So let me explain that in different words first. So when the Kohen Gadol goes from white to gold, so he's really going down in terms of the clothing. The gold clothing are the regular clothing, the white are for Yom Kippur, so he's then gone down a level. But the Chasam Sofer says an amazing thing. He says, but the Kohen Gadol was just in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He just did the holiest avoda you can imagine. So he has changed the person. So now he's emerged from that incredibly powerful avoda. He goes to do a normal avoda in his normal clothing. He's now on a higher level than he was before. Because when he emerged from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's changed as a person. And then he does something simple, it's on a higher level. So just to relate it to something else. So sometimes, let's say, let's take an example. You know, let's say we daven on regular day. So hopefully our davening is okay. And then let's say you go through a very powerful experience. You pick up and do the same Shema Esrei, but now your davening is much more powerful. Well, it's the same words, same sitter, I'm in the same place. Like, what changed? The answer is you've changed. And now because you have changed, you're doing the same exact avodah, but now you're doing it on a much higher level. So the Kohen Gadol, he's going back to do his regular avodah in his regular golden clothing, but because he's emerged from such an experience in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, this now is considered ascending to a brand new level. So he hasn't gone down by changing back in his regular clothes, he's gone upwards. Because since his experience has changed him, he's moving upwards as he changes his clothes. So that's the Chasam Sofer. Now how does that relate to Shabbos? Well, let's see the next point. So now we can answer the question, why do we say Kiddush at night following Tefillah? Then we go to Maariv, we come back, we say Kiddush. Look at Kiddush b'Tefillah. And ultimately, we already said Kiddush in davening. The Shemoneh Esrei on Friday night contains Vayechulu, it contains Makash Shabbos. We've said this, said the words of Kiddush already, more or less. So why do you have to go home and say Kiddush again? V'isad Magen Avram, Shebirchas Makadish HaShabbos b'Tefillah, for Yatzei Rechovas Kiddush. And the Magen Avram actually tells us that when you davened on Friday night, you've actually fulfilled your obligation of Kiddush on a Deraisa level. So why do we have to go back again and make another Kiddush? But we can, based on the previous point we made about the Chasam Sofer, we can explain it. Even though tefillah is something which seems to be more spiritual than a Shabbos Suda, tefillah is, you know, it's in the heart, it's davening, it's much more spiritual. The Shabbos Suda is a piece of chicken and a piece of kugel and some soup and a Coke, that doesn't seem so spiritual to us. So even though tefillah is more spiritual than the Suda, but nonetheless, once you finish davening on Friday night, Nis'ala ha'adam, the person has become elevated through the davening. V'nishtana ma'huso, the person has changed. Ad she'achshav achiloso yoser me'ula metfilo. So now your eating is even more kadosh than your davening was. Because you've emerged from davening a holier person. So your eating becomes spiritual. She'spal kodem she'sala, because you daven before, and now you've grown. Mimela achshav l'fi dargoso sh'zroman, so now that you have grown as a person, Achshav is Shabbos Mekodesh Yoser, so now Shabbos is even more sacred. Shabbos, you know, 20 minutes ago before I davened Maariv, Shabbos was holy. But now that I davened, Shabbos is even more holy, because I've davened, and I've changed through Shabbos. V'tzar Kiddush Chadosh, so I need to make a new Kiddush, b'makom Suda, mashal niskadosh Shabbos Mikara, b'makom Tefillah. I have to make a new Kiddush now, because there's a new sanctity here. Because I've davened, I've become more sacred. Shabbos is more sacred to me. So because there's a new Kiddusha, I have to make a new Kiddush. Again, this is not al derech halach, it's more derech hasidus. This is more of a concept. But that's his point. And that, look, he keeps going. But Safar Shabbos, so Shabbos morning, again. Achar Sudas Erev. You've already had your Filas Maariv. And you've had your nighttime Suda. And you've davened Shacharis. And you've davened Musaf. So you've already been through a lot of experiences on Shabbos. Nis'al od yoser, you're even more holy. V'achshav achiloso hi b'kedushas seira. Now when you eat your Shabbos day suda, you're even holier. So each step of Shabbos takes you up another step, another step, another step. Each meal becomes holier and holier and holier. She'ein tzarech l'kadosh al yidei birchas mekadosh ha-Shabbos, she'chrozav amshach l'kedusha, el naso greida hi, kol kach mekudeshesh mekachim al yidei birchas hanenin. He says an amazing thing. The Shabbos Day Kiddush, we mentioned last time, is just Bri Pri Gafen. There's nothing more to it. Everything you say before is just a minug, but the main Kiddush on Shabbos Day is just Bri Pri Gafen, which is just Birchas Hanenin. It's the brach we make on enjoying ourselves. So Shabbos night, you have this whole long description of how of the Kiddush of Shabbos, that Hashem chose as His people and gave us the Shabbos, because on Friday night, you're not quite at the level that your drinking itself is so holy. So Friday you have to give this whole long description of how holy Shabbos is, and that kind of brings the sanctity into your meal. On Shabbos morning already, we've been through so much of Shabbos that just making Bri Pri Gafen is so supercharged with Kedusha, that's enough to sanctify the meal. Because I've changed to the point where my Bri Pri Gafen is that powerful, that's all I need. So I don't need to have a whole long spiritual discussion about the holiness of Shabbos. I have to do is say Bri Pri Gafen, and my meal is holy because I'm holy. That happens on Shabbos day. And then Vinikras Kedusha Rabbah. The Shabbos day Kiddush is referred to as Kedusha Rabbah, the great Kiddush. We mentioned this also a few weeks ago. Ki Rabbah he yoser mevirchas mekadosh Shabbos shel emesh, because this Kiddush he learns is a holier. It's on a higher level than there's more kedusha here than there was on Friday night. So now we go to Shalosh Shittos. Uvik Ksudas Raiva de Raivin. When it comes to Shalosh Shittos, the meal which is the deepest will of Hashem, this Kaddish Od Yoser, you're even holier now. She'ein Srichin Afilu Hazmana Shal Birchas Bar Priya Gafim. Nachmar Shasom Mishim Yakur Shabsa. You don't even need Kiddush. You don't need to say Bar Priya Gafim at all. Because Bar Priya Gafim is supposed to be there to help me show this is a Shabbos Suda. This meal is holy. This meal is sacred. This meal is spiritual. So Friday night I need to have like a whole Megillah to say to get that point out. Shabbos morning, Bar Priya Gafim is enough to get that point out. At Shalosh Shittos, we've got to the point of Shabbos that we are so elevated, I don't need to say anything. I just got to eat. And my eating is automatically holy because Shalosh Shittos is so special. Rak ocha blishum shinui kamos suda regila. You eat with no changes from any other meal. You just eat. Kamako sudaso hazos di tachlis hakadusha. But this suda is the high point of Kedusha. Yoser mishar suda shas more so than the rest of Shabbos. Shere maislav haragilim niskachu, because your typical everyday actions just become holy automatically. Od yoser miazmanas kedusha shal yakra de shabsim suda kodomus. Even more so than the actual description of Kiddush from the previous meals. So that's where we'll stop in his piece here. But it's an amazing description. So he's saying that every single point of Shabbos, I grow. Every single point of Shabbos, I'm holier. And therefore, my actions become holier. So Friday night, you know, I'm in davening, Shabbos is holy, and I'm starting to enter into the Kedusha of Shabbos. But when it comes to my meal, to sanctify that meal, I have to give an entire description, a long bracha, to show that this meal is holy, Shabbos is holy, Hashem chose me in front of all people, He gave us a special gift. And it takes a lot to bring in the Kedusha, because you know I'm not quite there yet, so I have to like get myself there. By Shabbos morning, I've gone through a lot more Shabbos. I've removed myself from the weekday activities. I've davened, I've had a Shabbos Suda. So now, I sit down to my lunch Suda. So I still have to do something to bring in the holiness, but just Bar Priya Gafim, that's all I need. Bar Priya Gafim, and that gets me into the holiness. At Shalosh Shittos, I've gone to the level where all I have to do, my eating automatically becomes ruchnius. My eating is spiritual, my eating is sacred. I don't have to say anything. I don't do anything, I just have to eat. And it's just imbued with Kedusha. So he's describing, obviously, a high level of experiencing Shabbos. But on our level, just to know that as you go through Shabbos, there should be an experience which changes you. You should feel that you're kind of getting to a higher point, not to a lower point. That's the goal of Shabbos. So Shalosh Shittos becomes that high point. Shalosh Shittos to us often is not a high point. It's kind of like, okay, Shabbos is almost over. I'm not hungry. I have to eat it. Let's get through with it. And we understand where that's coming from. But if we were to truly experience Shabbos, Shalosh Shittos would be like the highest point of our day. Shalosh Shittos would be the time where I'm so excited because I've had a whole Shabbos to sanctify myself, and now I can sit down and eat a real Shabbos meal. And that's Shalosh Shittos. I don't need so much fancy food. I just need a little bit of food, and I need a lot of spirituality there. That's what Shalosh Shittos is all about. So that's the description. That's the goal we're heading towards. It takes a lot to really live Shabbos that way. But it's a goal. It's a goal for us to have. And at least to look at Shalosh Shittos not just as something to just get over with, but to make it a real meal on Shabbos. You know, set the table a little bit nicer than you usually would. Have something out to eat which you enjoy. Not so much food, but something you enjoy. And look at it as a true Shabbos suit and recognize this is the meal which is the true Shabbos meal, because other meals I have every single day. But Shalosh Shittos is the unique Shabbos meal, and that should give it a lot more Kedusha than we're familiar with. And so we'll stop there for this week.